Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignments over the weekend. Is there a duality operating that you can identify? Your assignment, rearrange the voices on two sides of the duality. Which aspect of ego do you see on each side? Record and listen. Example, one side, cautious. Is this really a good idea? Second side, playful. What fun. I have no idea how this is going to go. Then on Saturday, can you see how the voices are framing your choices to ensure that you never win? Example, if I say yes and go, I might not enjoy myself. If I say no, life will pass me by and I will stay in this rut. Your assignment. What are the two choices the voices offer you? Record and listen to what you see. And then on Sunday, your assignment. As you read over how suffering happens for you, can you get a sense of the karma behind this issue? What beliefs, assumptions, projections, behavior do you consistently choose that results in suffering? Example, unpredictability is dangerous. The karmic choice I make is always to be in control by choosing what I know. I'm afraid that I won't be adequate to what might arise if I wander into unfamiliar territory. RL, what you see. So here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Rebecca.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Perfectly. Thank you.
Great. Okay, so this was a really rich one for me. So I want to just kind of run through some of the things that I saw and then ask you about them. So the duality that I saw was, several of them. One is that work is work and play is play, and they're not to be. They're two ends of the duality.
Mm-hmm.
Then I remembered a poem by Rabia that we looked at one time not long ago about when I have my hands on a pot or, you know, something like that, then the line is, I tried painting, but I found it was easier to fly when slicing potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that sort of blew, because I love work, and I find that that's a lot of quote work, you know, that's a lot of the time I can play is when I'm, you know, doing something like that.
When you're participating.
Exactly. And that was another mm-hmm. duality, that fun is play is a process, no, play is content. And it can seem like it can get on either side of the duality, like it doesn't matter at all what the content is. Or it only matters what the content is, you know. So
mm-hmm.
there was that.
Oh,
one.
My goodness, this duality thing, it's everywhere.
It is. It so is.
I'm seeing that in what you're saying.
Yeah, and it can take over anything. And so the two bad choices that it laid out was you can be valuable, you know, needed, and a real contribution, or you could enjoy yourself. You know, and play. But you can't be both. So pick, which do you want? Do you want to be valuable and necessary in a contribution, or do you want to have fun and enjoy yourself? And the duality just totally supports that.
Yes, and I just want to check on something before we lose it. Do you want to be valuable? Give me that. Valuable, what's the other one? Rebecca? Sherry?
You're here, Sherry. I don't know if... I think Rebecca just dropped off.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
Oh.
Yes. Okay. So it's valuable...
Needed. And a contribution.
And making a contribution. Now that is a really interesting trio of backup singers.
Say more.
Okay.
Well,
valuable and needed, or making a contribution, those are not the same thing. valuable and needed is all about me.
Uh-huh.
Right? Making a contribution is all about us.
Ooh.
So it's just interesting to me that those got lumped together as the opposite of play or as the opposite of enjoying yourself. So one is meant to be framed as some sort of self-sacrifice, and the other is enjoying yourself. So just that'll be big to take apart.
Uh-huh. Ooh, that is, you know, it is such an Enneatype 2 position as well.
I got as far as Enneatype 2 position, and then you went underwater again.
Oh, okay, let me move over here. That anytime I see those words, that's what I think of. It's, oh, there's an Enneatype 2 karma.
Uh-huh. So in order to get your needs met, you have to be needed.
Yeah. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's just interesting. I know that's not ultimately where you were going, but I think that scam will be really good to dismantle.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, the whole assumption, which is ego's basic assumption, is that there is a you to enjoy yourself separate from life, and there is a you to be valuable and needed separate from life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how contribution even managed to slip in there, but shit.
Well, you know how? Because that's the criteria that gets the standard gets overlaid on all of it. It judges whether all of that's happening, whether it feels like a gift, like a contribution.
Uh-huh. So it's not contribution in the sense of participation. It is, what is my individual ego add?
Yes. Ooh, yes, exactly.
I know, it's so creepy when we stop and think about it, isn't it? It's just creepy.
It is. And I'm going to go back and record these little phrases that you keep interjecting, because it's like crystal clear, like that one just was. Oh, that's so good.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the last thing I wanted to point out that I saw was that the karma that this all holds in place is you must be of value to what you do, and that's really an oppressive way to live. So sorry about you.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. You have to be that way, you poor victim.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and you had
mentioned
that you're going to be doing a victimizer workshop, and ever since you said that, I've just been seeing that sort of duality or whatever you would call it everywhere, that process.
Yeah. So it catches you in the dualities that you're mentioning, and which are all in support of ego,
mm-hmm.
and then claims that you are victimized by life.
Yep. That's it in a nutshell.
Well, Rebecca, we can always take comfort in knowing we're not the only one. Right? It is the way it works.
So
there is
so
that.
Comforting.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you. You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rebecca. It's just so helpful to lay it out like that, right, Sherry? That the process of laying it out like that gets us to that delighted chuckle of disidentification, because when I lay it out, it describes the ego process perfectly, and I don't have to identify with that.
That's right, because you are what is seeing it. But as we say regularly, when it's allowed to ricochet around inside the head, it sounds really, really intelligent, sensible, right. And then we say it out loud, we hear it reflected back and go, yowza, that's ridiculous, and thank God it's not me.
Mm-hmm. And we can see how it operates us through mm-hmm. manipulating the intent of goodness, right? Mm-hmm. You can either be valuable or you can enjoy yourself. And if you were the right person, you would want to be valuable and make a contribution than enjoy yourself.
Yeah, that you would rather sacrifice yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's really, when we say it out that way also, it's an interesting dynamic, because if ego is talking, what it is saying is true. That's my orientation, which is I would sacrifice the human being any day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Ego's happy to. Mm-hmm. It does mm-hmm. all the time. Every minute,
yes,
if it can. Yes.
Yes, and that outward projection of, and if you don't meet my needs, I'm going to take you out also, right? Which is how we operate.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Yeah, yeah, and mm-hmm. I love what Rebecca said, that her first experience of life, when she looks to her experience, the participation, the being engaged in life, is a joyful, playful place. Mm-hmm. And we're pulled out of our experience to be moved into the belief around those two choices. So I can't actually playfully do the dishes. That's my experience. That's what I do. And yet I'm told that that's not a contribution. And because you're working, you can't also be playing. So play has to be something that is content-oriented, while you're experiencing how much of a process it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, you slipped in another important one there, which is if I'm going to sacrifice myself, then it has to be for a great cause. It can't be for something like washing the dishes, for God's sake. That is not worth giving a life for. Now, mm-hmm. if I'm going to be the star of some show, okay, well mm-hmm. then, yeah. And the degrees of crapola.
Mm-hmm, 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 exactly. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there, this is Sharon calling from Barbados.
Oh, hello. Hello, Sharon.
I have a new computer, so I can't get my headphones to work with it, but it's okay. The sound's okay without.
I'll tell you, Sharon, you sound like you're next door.
So oh, good.
I don't know what it is about being in Barbados that makes it so much easier for us to hear than, you know, if you were two towns away, but there we go.
Oh.
We're happy it's working.
Good. Thank you. Well, I'm showing up because that's what I'm told in this practice to do, but
No, I cannot let you get away with that. Mm. No. You're showing up because you want to. You're showing up because that's what your heart calls you to do.
Okay.
And then the voices come in and say, well, you know, that's what they say you have to do, and so, you know, you gotta do what they say you have to do.
Yeah, well, I listen to this show, and I hear people working on these exercises, and they're very thoughtful, you know, and
mm-hmm.
they have so many interesting awarenesses, and it helps me so much to listen. But I can't say, I think, well, mine's not going to sound that way, you know. I mean, call in, I'd say one thing, and that's about it. And
that's what we call self-hate.
I know.
Yes.
All right. Well, I did have a couple of awarenesses that I will share.
All right. Lay
these exercises this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
One aspect of ego that comes up a lot for me is that sense of overwhelm. And it comes mm-hmm. from, I don't have time to play. I've got too much to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been paying a lot of attention to that. And I just happened to even notice today what happens to lead me into that sense of overwhelm. And the first thought is, you're running out of time.
Wow.
Because I was just happy today, just doing one thing to the next, almost feeling like play, you know, the things that I have to do. But as soon as I had that thought, you're starting to run out of time, I knew that that was the door was opening for that sense of overwhelm.
Isn't that good to see?
Yeah.
Isn't that good to see? So you were going along. Now, again, our language, doing the things you have to do. Now, I'm going to bet that those are the things that you do in order to maintain your life. Right? They maintain your home. They maintain your health. They maintain your family. They maintain your, you know, whatever it is that
project,
is going
all,
on.
All of that,
yeah. That they maintain your life. And then they get turned into, this is what I have to do, first of all. The language is depressing, right? Okay, these are the things I have to do today. Rather than, this is what I get to do today. This is what I get to focus on today that's going to take care of me and my loved ones. Okay, here's my contribution for today. This is how I'm going to participate in life today. Okay, and you're going along, and because of that, you're completely happy doing what you're doing, and then here it comes. You're running out of time. And it's like you can see the, you know, that icy hand around the back of your neck, right? The voice of doom, right? You're running out of time.
The icy hand, that is really good way to put it, because I was trying to think of what to call it, you know. The voice of doom, the icy hand, that's perfect because it feels that way.
Yes, and suddenly you're completely overwhelmed. Why? Because you're no longer in the moment doing what you're doing, right? You're now you've gone with that voice into conditioned mind, and it's one of those things where it doesn't have to have any proof, right? You know, you don't, because we're trained not to stop and say, what do you mean I'm running out of time? I'll be out of time when I'm dead. I'm not dead. Yay. There's, as far as I know,
exactly.
I have lots of time. We're trained just to know what that means. Oh, my God, this is impossible. It's too much. You're never going to get it done. Oh.
Well, in looking at my choices, I had the, instead of getting overwhelmed and resentful for all I have to do, I could relax, breathe, be present, and wait for guidance.
That's exactly right.
So that's a better choice, I think.
It's a very better choice, isn't it? Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Because then you win in every direction. Right, you win by getting to participate wholeheartedly and joyfully in your life. And when ego comes at you, you win by getting to stop and be present and take a breath and recognize where you are and probably say thank you and dispel that nasty threat.
Yeah, and what I often say is wait. What do I want to do next? What's the next right thing, you know, for me to do? And
yeah,
I think that's where I wait for that guidance.
Yeah, what now, life? What now?
Yes,
After I take a little break and breathe and maybe do a little recording about how my life has been going and what I've been enjoying and what's around me now and what I particularly like about what's around me now and what I think is beautiful and all, I make a little recording about that. To kind of solidify, horrible word, but present. And then, what now, life? What now? Where should we go now?
Well, just quickly, I always hear you say, record about what is true. And it occurred to me the other day that what is true are all the things that I have to be grateful for, all the blessings in my life. Is that kind of the way you look at it?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm guessing that you live in kind of a pretty place. Is that true?
Yeah.
So that's a huge part of it. The flowers, the birds, the trees, the whatever is going on, your home, the things that you're surrounded with, that poem, again, The way to dispel sadness, let your hands touch something that makes your eyes smile.
Okay? Very nice.
That's good. So you just look around and you make a recording of everything in this moment that is true for you. And it doesn't matter if you said the same thing about the same flower yesterday. It doesn't matter. It's your experience right now.
Yeah. Well, that's real lovely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, in my experience, you just can't love flowers too much. They never get tired.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And they love it when you love them. I always think that.
Oh, you know it. You can feel it in your heart. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. So
thank
nice
you,
to talk
Karen.
With you. All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sharon. I don't know why, Sherry, but process is dropping in so much for me right now because there's a way in which that conversation moves the attention from ego to life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we ever have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We can feel the energetic difference between when I'm listening to a voice of self-hate and speaking from that, and as I allow my attention to move to something that I love, that then I have an experience that is so radically different.
Yes, yes. And just in that short conversation, Sharon was being told she had nothing to say, right? There's nothing really worthwhile to say.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of it, we've covered all of practice, how to be present, how wonderful life is, how beautiful everything is.
Huh.
Okay,
and that I can't love a flower too much. Yes, and that there's an experience of love that I'm in from which my world view is so completely different.
Yeah. And that's what we're practicing all the time, right? Just over and over and over. From there to here. From there to here.
Yeah. From self-hate to love. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Oh, good.
Who
this is
you?
Andrew. This is Andrew.
Hey, Andrew. I didn't recognize your voice. I could have if I'd waited just a moment. What do you think,
it is my first time with the radio show, with this year long. So what I'm looking at, I had a lot of trouble with, I think it was Fridays, day nines, because I just chalked it up to nothing shows up under scrutiny, if I'm getting that quote right, of I kept looking for a duality and couldn't find one.
Nothing can stand up under scrutiny.
Which is different.
A lot of what we were just talking about with Rebecca and then with Sharon, right? So all of this stuff goes on. And then when we get it outside the head, we realize, that's not what I thought it was. Yeah. So you weren't able
to find anything. Yeah, for a long time. And then today I did. And so some parts of the weekend assignments were really easy for me and some parts were really hard. So the easy part was, I think it was Saturday, it said setting for not, you know, happy with the duality. And that really made a lot of sense. As soon as I found the duality, it was crystal clear. Like, both sides had a lot of evidence for, you know, choose me. And if I choose one, then later comes, yeah, but, in the form of, you know, this is working out so great and it really looks like you made the right choice, but you remember that long list of evidence for the other side. And so that's why you can't be happy because.
Yeah. This is where Jen took us. I don't know if it was the first month or the second month when we encountered these. And she pointed out that in the world of duality, whatever choice we make is going to be the wrong choice. They're both bad choices, right? That is the nature of duality. Yeah.
The part I kind of wanted to ask you about that I really struggled with was the idea of switching the voices. It just felt like there was a lot there. I just really felt called to try with that a lot. But like I said, I was having hard time finding a duality in the first place. And then when I did find some, I was having a really hard time switching the part of it might be I'm just not that practiced with aspects of personality and things. But so the one that I found today was a kind of a work task, or it might be fun too, that somebody offered me, you know, to join their team. And so it's kind of do it or don't do it. And so one is very excited. It's actually a lot like the examples from the assignments. One's very excited, one's very cautious. But then when I try to switch them, I don't know if I'm just getting really focused on content or what's going on, but like to be cautious about doing the project or excited about not doing it wasn't really making sense to me. Is that the spirit of the thing, or?
Well, it's mostly when you, so there's that duality, and you know what that feels like, right? What each of those feels like when
yeah,
you're caught in them.
Yeah.
And so that's all we're being asked to look at, to realize that it's kind of the, I would guess the main point that we have a chance to see is that when we're caught in anything, in any conditioned belief or assumption, we're really caught. We believe it. We're identified with it. Yeah, that's me. That's how I feel. Yeah, that's what I think. And then we go to the other side of it. Yeah, no, that's me. That's what I think. That's who I am. And each side of that duality, we really believe that it's true, whichever one. And on either side can't see the other side. So the only way we can see a duality is when we step back, when we disidentify, and move into a place where we can see both of them. And it's true that it's primarily done through something that looks like memory, right? You can recall having that experience, feeling that way, seeing the world that way, saying those things. So now, of course, that's how identification happens. So if you get too involved in looking at that, you will identify with it, which is how we get pulled into identification all the time. So say you're, it's shall I stay in this job or shall I quit this job? And that back and forth goes on all the time, and you know that back and forth. Well, if you turn all of your attention to, I'm going to quit this job, then before long, if you're not careful, you will become that subpersonality, that aspect of ego that is identified with that, that tells that story, has that, I need to quit because of this and this and this and this and this and this. So what we're practicing in awareness practice is staying in that disidentified state so that we can recognize all of these. So whatever comes up in our conditioned minds is a duality. Conditioned mind is dualistic. It's how all of the illusions that human beings have are created and maintained. Okay, so a thought comes in. I don't want to go to the store. Okay. Well, that with that is, but I need to go to the store, or I should go to the store. I am trained to focus on just that thought comes up. Yeah, that's me. I don't want to go to the store. Okay. If I have to go to the store, I'm going to be angry and resentful and bitter because I don't want to. I don't feel like that. And so it's just we get to see how we are drawn into and down a path of suffering because at every point, which is about every split second for most conditioned human beings, a new thought comes into conditioned mind, is triggered in conditioned mind, and there's a fork in the path, right? And then you're this way or that way. But it doesn't matter to ego. Because ego is being maintained in the whole thing. That was a lot. Did you go with me?
You mean, am I tracking? I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm like a little bobblehead, just nodding my head over and over. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So the only way that we can extricate ourselves from this process is by learning to step back and watch what comes into the head instead of living in the head, awaiting the arrival of whatever it is that's going to drag us further down the path.
Ah, yes.
Okay, that's what meditation is, of course. Yeah? And so do we get pulled in constantly? Do we remember? Hardly ever. And it is what we're practicing, right? So instead of trying to figure out, should I this or should I that, suddenly it drops in, that's a duality. Okay, now I'm disidentified. Now I remember, what this is actually is the awareness that can see that. Uh-huh. Okay. All right, good. One moment for the human.
Yeah. I think I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be fun, Andrew, to just for the next little while, just focus on duality. Just see if you can recognize that every thought that you are aware of, that you kind of buy into, realize that that's one half of the duality. And very quickly you can see what the other half is. It's usually, well, you don't or you shouldn't, or you do or you should. they're not creative. Right? They're not terribly deep or esoteric.
Okay. That's
yeah?
Good.
All right. Yeah. Let us know, okay?
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. And Cherry, that brings us to the end of the show. So our assignment for today, your assignment, what possibilities might be available if you dropped out of ego's either-or framing of the issue? RL, what you see?
Yeah. Well, that was a good assignment for Andrew, wasn't it? It anticipated
it was exactly
what we're all
right.
Going to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Very right. Good. Well, I think it's what you were pointing to. Something arises, and then the way conditioning takes it into the world of conditioning is to make it a duality.
Yes.
And so it is not very deep and it's not very profound. It's just simply taking one and making it two.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. It's taking every yes and making it a no, every no and making it a well, you should.
Right. It's either a negation or a division. And that's really what ego does.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Ashwin.
Thank you,
Sherry. Everybody. Go happy.
Take care, and we'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
All right. Bye-bye.